This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And we're starting up again. We're live again because I'm now back in the country and we are doing the live shows again instead of the archives. Okay, tonight I've got my special guest, Carol Pate, on the line. And, you know, Carol, I was thinking today, I think we must know each other more than 30 years.
In and around that time frame, yeah.
Because I was trying to think when we met, and I know it was way back in the 70s. That's a long time.
Please don't say that.
I was trying to think, when did I meet you? And I know it was in the 70s, so that has to be over 30 years ago.
It was in the late 70s.
All right.
Yeah, because that was after I'd been with the Kidney Foundation.
Uh-huh. Well, I know it was before you married James, so that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. I've been married for 25 years, so.
Okay, so we're getting in the ballpark anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've known Carol for a long, long time, and she's been on the show, I think, when I first started. I've had the show now 3 years. Time just keeps flying.
No kidding.
So Carol is very unique. She is a real psychic. And, you know, I mean, I've been around so many people that I know she is genuine. But you more consider, well, you have a psychic setter.
Yes.
But you really consider yourself as a psychic detective, don't you?
Pretty much. I do a lot of that. It's not 100% of my work, but that is a big part of it.
Uh-huh, because you do other things, too.
Absolutely.
I know you've worked with missing people and things like that, too, for a long time.
Well, I do general readings as well. I help people get through divorces. I help businesses when they're being swindled out of money, or there's, you know, banks and that sort of thing, people that are embezzling, and just general day-to-day stuff.
Day-to-day.
Well, for me.
Before you go any further, I forgot. Let me go ahead and give the toll-free number in case anyone does want to call in tonight.
Okay.
I usually do that when I start. The toll-free number in case anyone does want to call in and talk to Carol, the number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. Yeah, you may consider this to be day-to-day stuff, but I don't think it's the usual for the normal people out there.
Probably not. Every day is a new experience.
Normal, I don't think.
Yeah.
But anyway, Carol, you said you work on about, what is it, between 400 and 500 murder cases a year?
I was working at 500 murder cases in and around per year.
Uh-huh.
No, I've slowed that down. I had to.
It got too much, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. It physically hurts me to work on those cases. And it's very, very hard on me emotionally. And it's very, very draining.
Well, I know before you told me that when you do work on the murder cases, you get it from the murderer's viewpoint and also from the victim's viewpoint.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I can see how that would be draining.
Oh, it's horrible. I am the murderer. I think what the murderer thinks. I feel what they feel. I know why they're doing what they're doing. And then as the victim, I feel the pain of however they died.
Mm.
And I think their thoughts are my thoughts. And it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would really like to do that.
Not if they have any sense. Sorry.
You told me, though, that you started, you was working with the police when you were only 12 years old.
Yeah, that was my first murder case.
So that's how long you've been doing this, so it's a natural part of you anyway.
It is. I really believe that I came here to do this work, to help people with my psychic abilities.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to fight them. I didn't want to be a, quote, psychic. So I tried to fight them. But then one day, a murder case broke. It was a big one that I'd been working on anonymously with the police. and I couldn't be anonymous anymore. Mm-hmm. I got thrown out of the closet.
You said it's just like the show, The Medium, because, you know, the same way she works. You really do a lot of the similar things, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. I'm involved. I do healing work. I teach classes on how to develop your psychic abilities, what they are, what they mean. I do all sorts of de-hauntings. I help spirits into the light. I do a lot of various work in all the areas that people would consider supernatural.
And you've also been called in to find missing people, too.
Oh, I do a lot of that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I do everything, it feels like.
Oh,
what do you want me to do?
Well, you find time to teach when you also have your psychic center where people call in. So that's you're really busy.
Yeah, it stays quite busy. I did classes at the University of Arkansas for a number of years. And that was on ESP and how to develop it. And that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did the healing courses, and I teach people how to see auras and what the auras, what the colors mean and how that all functions.
Uh-huh.
We just get into a lot of different things. I enjoy teaching.
Uh-huh. But when you're working with the missing people, that's different than the murder cases, isn't it?
It's not near as tough. It really isn't. It's a whole lot easier.
I mean, it's done in a different way, isn't it?
No, it's all done pretty much the same way.
I think you use a lot of psychometry in your work, too, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I primarily use psychometry. I have to hold a photograph of the individual and or writing in ink and or a piece of jewelry. Something that they've worn for a long time, like a watch or a ring.
Yeah.
And that's how I tune into their signature energy. And everyone has a signature energy. No two are exactly alike. So it's kind of like finding a station on the radio.
It's rather like everybody has their own frequency or vibration?
Absolutely.
And so nobody is, there aren't any that are identical then, is that
no.
right?
No. And I've even tried it with identical twins.
Yeah.
And they were completely different.
Hmm. You would think they would be closer than anybody else.
You would. You absolutely would. But everyone has a signature energy, just like a fingerprint.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes a lot of these energies are, well, I don't know how you want to call it. I've been around some people where their energies really bother me. They're strong, and they're, I don't want to say negative, but I get very strong vibrations off of them where you don't want to be around them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are what we think,
mm-hmm.
and we radiate what we truly are. You ought to try a murderer's energy.
I don't think I'd want to.
Oh, yeah, that's wild.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I've met a few people that had black auras. Now, I don't know if you've ever met anyone with a black aura or not.
No, I haven't. But then I don't see the auras.
Oh, you don't.
Well,
they're very easy to see.
What would the black one indicate?
He was heavy duty into Satanism. I met a woman and I met a man, both of them. That was at two different points in my life that had black auras.
Hmm. So it completely, I guess you would say, took their energy down, because usually we're supposed to be with the light. And
yeah.
My auras are usually very beautiful colors.
Yep.
So what does that mean then, that he had totally taken all the light out of his life, or
yes.
what?
And had turned it black.
Hmm.
And when I met both people, their energy, I don't even know how to express this, but it knocked us both back from each other. I knocked them back, they knocked me back at the same time, and both of us got ill.
Mm. It affected him too then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know, I've talked to a psychologist one time in my work, And they always said to watch the person's eyes, and you could pick up, because they said they will emanate an energy that sometimes you don't, that will push you back. You don't want to be around them. And if you watch their eyes, you can tell if someone's mentally ill or if they're unbalanced or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can.
And the energy is something you're not comfortable with, and it'll want to push you away.
Well, have you ever stood in Walmart and got sick to your stomach when you stood in line?
Oh, it bothers me sometimes to go over to the mall, you know, and go into the big stores and stuff. You mean like that?
Well, not exactly. Sometimes when you get in someone's negative energy,
yeah,
it can upset your stomach, make you sick to your stomach.
Hmm. But like if you're in Walmart, you mean there's somebody, just people in general, and you're picking
up? No, it's usually if you're standing in line.
Yeah.
Now, I've had people come from behind, and they made me ill, sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
And I knew that it was somebody standing behind me, and sure enough, there was. Child pornographer type people, people that are really into negative things, carry that kind of energy.
Then when you look around and look at them, you wouldn't be able to pick it up just by looking at them?
No, I feel. Everything I do is feeling. I don't have to look.
Uh-huh. Just the feelings that you pick up from these people now.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I don't think you could be fooled very easy, could you?
Not really. And I've had people do it, or tried to.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very strange.
What do you mean they tried to fool you?
Well, I thought it was strange that they would try to fool me.
Yeah.
I mean, what would be the purpose of fooling a psychic? That would mean that the psychic wasn't a psychic, huh?
That's true.
I had one guy come to see me to keep me from getting involved in a murder case that he was the actual perpetrator of.
Uh-huh.
That was weird.
He knew you were working on it?
No, he knew that his wife was going to bring it to my attention.
Uh-huh. Tell about the story then.
Well, it was a long time ago, and this man came in to see me, and he sat down and he said, you know, a friend of my wife was murdered, and she wants to come and see you, but I think it would be better if I came to see you about this, because she's so emotionally charged over it, whereas I'm not. And I
yeah.
knew beyond a shadow of a doubt he had killed this woman.
So you were able to pick it up then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I had to be very cautious because I didn't want him to blatantly know that I knew.
Yeah.
Because I could be the next target.
Definitely.
But at the end of the conversation, he told me, he said, if my wife ever calls to talk, to bring you in on this case, you better understand you're not to work on it.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, you need to understand something, too. Being a psychic, I pick up on a lot of stuff. And being a psychic, I can also do things to protect myself.
Yeah.
And he kind of backed off from me.
It's
a dangerous field. It can be a dangerous field.
Well, did you go to the police about him?
I couldn't. And I'll tell you why. I had absolutely no proof.
Yeah, just a feeling.
Yeah. You know, and that was in my early years.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the reputation. I had a decent reputation, but I didn't have the reputation I have now. And I don't think they would have listened to me.
Yeah.
And they couldn't have done anything either.
Uh-huh.
No proof.
Hmm. Okay, there was something that came into my head here. But you said it can be dangerous.
Yes.
But I do remember one thing you said, too. Well, I just bring this up because you were a regular on the Court TV on the Psychic Detective show, weren't you?
Yeah, I did 7 shows.
7 shows on there. And I think they wanted to make you a regular, too, but you said you didn't want to go that far.
Yeah, they wanted to have me sign a contract with them for about 5 years.
But they were going over a lot of your old cases, and I saw some of the video. You did one at our conference, and
yeah.
It was very good, very impressive.
Thank you.
But I brought that up because I remember you said once somebody called you or something after one of those shows and told you, I just discovered what I want to do with my life. I want to be a psychic detective.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of those.
I just woke up this morning and said, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, how can I do it? Can you train me to be a psychic detective?
Yeah.
And what they don't know is this is something you're born with.
Yeah.
It's not something that you develop into.
And you could train somebody and tell them what to do.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like an artist, okay?
Yeah.
There's Michelangelo.
Yeah.
And then there's a little kid that can do, you know, draw sticks for people.
Yeah.
Either you got it or you don't. And either it's your path or it isn't. I had a really sweet 87-year-old woman that called me and she said, I'm very, very psychic. I think I want to be a psychic detective.
Yeah.
I think it's a little late.
Well, it could be. That's what I meant, because you're saying it can be dangerous. These people don't even think about that. It just looks glamorous when it's on TV.
Well, yeah, when you're being acknowledged, you know, I mean, it's wonderful. But they don't understand the pain and the suffering that you go through on a personal basis and energetically and physically. There's a lot of suffering that goes with this.
Uh-huh.
And believe me, Dolores, I would never have chosen this on my own.
That's why you would never have started out, but you started so young. You told me even when you were a little child, before you started working with the police, you could always see people that weren't there. And
I did.
You've had it all your life. It wasn't something you chose to do.
No. Well, I guess I did, or I wouldn't have it, but I didn't knowingly in this lifetime choose it.
Well, we always say we choose things before we come in anyway.
Yeah, we do.
But you mean if you had a choice, this would not be something you'd want to do because it isn't a pleasant experience.
No. As a matter of fact, I considered it more of a curse than anything else.
Hmm.
I couldn't live normal. There was no normal.
But isn't there a way to turn it off when you don't want to have it to be picking up all these things?
To some degree there is, yeah. I usually try to buffer myself, shield myself, because I have a very difficult time in crowds of people. I can zone out watching TV. That's really good for me. I love that. Or reading. You know,
yeah.
That's good. But there's always a slight roar in my head. And if somebody is in really serious trouble, I'll know it. I mean, I've done readings in airports with people that were just in dire trouble, and I knew it, and I'd walk up and I'd give them information.
Hmm.
So it's never totally turned off unless I go into burnout, and I do go into burnout about once a year now.
Where you just don't want to do anything anymore at all.
Well, I can't think. My psychic abilities completely go away.
Well, it has to be turned off once in a while.
Apparently. And then I get to recharge.
But you know, when you're in an airport and pick up on somebody, I think it would be difficult to go up and talk to them.
It doesn't appear that way.
Because they don't know who you are. You know, this strange lady's coming up here and telling me these things.
I know, but it does happen. It's happened when I've been in the line at the grocery store. It happens. And it's really strange when it does happen. It's like everybody else around disappears, and they totally understand what I'm telling them.
The person that you're picking up on.
Yeah.
So they've never just dismissed you as being crazy or something?
Never.
Oh.
I mean, it's really kind of bizarre. I was at an airport, and I was sitting next to this woman on a bench, And all of a sudden this information started coming through, and I turned around to her and I said, you know what? This is the best thing that ever happened to you, for you to leave that man that you were with in L.A. and go to see your mother in Florida and rekindle the bond that you had with her and give up all the drugs. This is going to be an awesome year for you. I am so proud of you, and God is so proud of you.
What did she say?
She said, thank you.
I would have thought she would have sat there stunned, like, you know, how is she picking up on this?
Well, she was. She was stunned, but she was grateful.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. People handle it really, really well.
Mm.
And it's like nobody else is around. Nobody else seems to hear it.
Well, that's unusual, too.
Yeah, it is unusual.
It's a crowded place.
It's an intervention of. I think it's a spiritual intervention.
Hmm. But, you know, let's talk about, you said that now you're on another TV show, aren't you?
Yeah, it's Psychic Investigators. It's on A&E.
And how long have you been doing that one?
I've only done it for a year. I did two shows. And I'm getting ready to do two more.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I talked to him today.
You just did one today?
I just talked to the production company.
Production today, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what do the other people with the Court TV think about it?
Well, actually, Court TV isn't out there anymore.
Oh.
A Court TV got sold to a company, and now they're calling it True TV.
TV. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, I think they do run some of the psychic detective shows.
Yeah.
But they haven't been able to find any more psychics to do any more shows.
Well, like you said, you didn't want to be tied down exclusively anyway.
Oh, no, I didn't. Mm-mm.
But these people with A&E then picked up because of your work with the Court TV?
Right, yes.
And they're calling this show, what, Psychic Investigators?
Uh-huh.
And is it the same format that you did with the other one?
Basically, although they're not as restrictive, with Psychic Detective, they restricted my part of the show to not a whole lot. They emphasized the police work, the police detective work. I was kind of like, I was there. But it was about me, kind of, but it was more about the detective work.
Okay, I remember the one that you brought to our conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, they showed you giving the clues, and then the police had to follow up on it.
Exactly.
But you were actually more involved in the case than that, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, I was way more involved.
So they were kind of, maybe they thought they had to minimize it because of public opinion and everything, you know, the way some people view psychics.
Well, Court TV was aimed towards police, law enforcement, judges, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they had to take a little bend to it, you know, not to upplay the psychic as much as it was to play up the police as well, which is fine with me. I mean, without police, we wouldn't have people incarcerated.
No, and you couldn't do it yourself. You have to have the police following up.
Yeah, it does help.
Yes, definitely. You can't go out and arrest anybody.
No. Although sometimes I'd like to. But Psychic Investigator plays up the psychics part of it.
That's what I was going to say. What's the difference? You said it doesn't have the restrictions.
Well, they give, see, with Psychic Detective, there was a lot of things that I did that they thought was over the top, so they wouldn't put it into the show.
Hmm. Can you give any examples?
Yeah. There was one show that I did with them. It was called Flower Girl, and it was about a young woman who was abducted from a nightclub. She sold flowers in front of the nightclub. And
yeah.
A man and a woman abducted her. And I was able to locate, I knew I was able to locate the person who did this. the couple who did this and their associations and how everybody fit into the whole murder case. And then he moved her body 5 times, and I found each one of the locations.
Mm.
And there were some other things involved. And they played all of that down.
You'd think that would be the main story.
Yeah, you'd think so. And it was a really interesting story because the police officer, or the detective, rather, took me to the area where she had been abducted. And he didn't tell me that's where we were going. He just wanted to drive me around, show me Denton, right?
Yeah.
So he takes me into the parking lot, and all of a sudden, I'm shot. I am shot in the left arm, and it hurts. And all of a sudden, her ghost, her spirit, takes me over and starts telling him what is happening. And then took him to the location where she was actually murdered.
That's what you meant about feeling it, too, that you, when you, these people, you feel how they're, when they're killed, you feel what it feels like.
Oh, absolutely. Never get hit by a train. Ever.
You told me that before, and they said, that's the worst.
Oh, it's horrible.
But in that one, they played it down, too?
Well, they never got into the part where she, you know, she took me over and that she was the one that guided them to the first place that where she was killed.
Yeah.
And without her, I probably couldn't have done all that I actually did. It was kind of part her and part psychic ability.
So they thought that was too way out for the show.
They thought it was too way out.
Hmm.
Well, that was okay.
But the ones you're doing now, they're allowing those kind of things to be left in then.
Yes, exactly.
And you said you've already done one. Has it been shown yet on A&E?
Yeah, there are two that have been shown. The Wrong Man was one of them. That was the Memphis case.
Yeah.
That was actually a better show. That's the one that you saw.
Well, the one I saw was the one about the serial murder.
That was it.
Yeah, okay.
That was a really good show. And what was the other one was Eford Tyson. It was a boy who had been kidnapped out of Malvern, Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
But he got released, and we got the guys who did it.
Is this one that's been on the new show, the Psychic Investigators?
Yeah, that's been on there.
Okay. But you've got so many cases. You've got a whole backlog they can choose from, don't you?
Well, there's a problem with that. I have a lot of cases that deal with children, and
yeah.
They will not use the cases dealing with children. And they have to also the police have to be able to work with the production company, and they have to be willing to say that I was part of it. And they don't like doing that.
Mm.
So, yeah, I've got a lot of cases. But, Dolores, when I get through working with a case with the family or with the police, I never hear from them again.
Mm.
I never get what happened, or did they prosecute this person, or did they find this person? They never call me back with feedback.
That don't seem right, because if you're helping with it, especially the family, you think they'd want to let you know.
They don't. It's very, it's rare.
Like you never existed, I guess.
I think they don't like the uncomfortable aspect of having to work with a psychic.
The police.
The police and sometimes the families.
Hmm.
A lot of times they don't want to ever see me again. And it may be because I remind them of that time frame. I don't know.
Well, that would make sense. But you would think that, well, like you said, the police wouldn't want to admit it.
Well, no.
That they didn't solve it on their own.
Well, Dolores, we're coming out of a time frame where people believe that psychics were of the devil.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're just now getting educated that there are people like me, like you, out there, and that we're not of the devil.
And that does take an education, too. You have to educate these people. That's a whole new frame of way of thinking.
That's right.
But, you know, I think these shows like the medium on TV, these are beginning to bring it to people's attention.
It's educating.
Yeah.
There's some really good shows out there, like A Haunting. That's a really good show. Ghost Whisperer. That's a good show.
Yeah.
There's John Edwards, who's been on a lot of TV.
Uh-huh.
There's been some real good education done, and with the movies as well. Ghost was the beginning on that.
Yeah.
With Patrick Swayze. That was an educational show. People didn't know it, but it was.
It's trying to turn people's way of thinking around, you know, through entertainment, really.
Yeah, it's given a safe haven.
To know that it really isn't, it isn't work of the devil, because most of these, you know, they, like you said, the victims, they do want to be helped. They want somebody to know what happened.
Sure they do. They want closure for their family. Mm-hmm. They want people to know that these people are bad and they need to be put away.
So you're still working on this, but you said that you already talked to the producers. Are you going to be doing some more shows here pretty soon?
I'm getting ready to do two more shows.
Do they have a scriptwriter that just takes the case and puts it together, or what?
Yeah, basically what they do is they interview me as to what happened, okay?
Yeah.
And during that interview, I give them a blow-by-blow description of what went down, how it happened, who I worked with, how I worked, and the information that I got. Then they will get with the police department, and they will collaborate with the police department so that they get all the information cleared and straight.
Yeah, verified.
Verified, yeah. And then they write the script, because you're looking at 20 minutes, okay?
Yeah.
And then they put the script together. And then depending upon where I did the work, if I did the work at my center or did I actually go out to the location, that's how we will handle it.
Okay. And then do you get to read the script to make sure it's accurate?
I don't really. Well, they don't have a script to hand me.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I have to reenact everything that went down.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an in general, all right, this is what you did here. We're going to go here, and you're to reenact how you picked it up, what took place here.
I see. It's more ad-lib.
Ad-lib, absolutely.
I thought maybe, well, the main thing is that you need to make sure it's accurate the way it really happened anyway.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And it seems to work out very well. And I'm not a very good actor.
I think you did very good on the ones that I've seen.
Well, that's because I got to ad-lib. If I had to memorize, forget it.
If you had to, if you're, this is what you got to say.
Yeah, and when I get in those areas, it all comes back to me.
Uh-huh.
Because it's still that energy, and it's still lingering.
So it doesn't dissipate after the murder then?
No.
It stays right there.
It stays right there.
Okay. But you're still working on cases, though, because you said you get so many of them.
Yeah, I've dropped it down. It's not as many as I was having. I had to, at one time, I worked on those cases for free, okay?
Yeah.
For the families and for the police.
But yeah.
I got so overwhelmed that I had to learn to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I upped my fee on it. I didn't want to, but it was the only way that I could weed them out.
That's what I found I had to do, too. Cause
I hate it, but
the only way you can, because otherwise you do get overwhelmed.
Yeah, you do. So I have learned to protect myself. And it's weird. I'll have people try to slide a murder case, which I don't comprehend. Like, I won't know it's a murder case.
Oh, yeah. You mean they try to
slide it by me.
To trick you some way there?
Yeah.
You said earlier, how can you trick a psychic?
I know. It just blows my mind. I just go, no, I'm not doing this. I think they think I'm going to get so swept up in it that I will just go ahead and do it.
Uh-huh.
But I can't. I've got a thing now that goes, uh-uh, we're not going any farther. This is a murder case. We're stopping.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
And if I work, and when I was doing the 500, it was like I would have worked anywhere around 2 murder cases a day.
Hmm.
5 days a week. That was bad.
That's too much for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very bad.
Especially when you're going through the emotions and the feelings and having it all very real to you. That's too much.
And try telling a family that their child is dead.
They don't know. They just think they're missing or something.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
That's really bad.
There's a beep.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's see if somebody's there. Okay, someone there?
Yep. Hi, I didn't know if you were doing readings today.
Yeah, go ahead. Do you have a question?
Yeah. I'm looking to purchase a home, and I've had just seems to be one obstacle after another. I can't find the right property. And I was wondering if you had any insight as to when that might happen.
Dolores, I can't hardly hear her.
Don, can you turn up the sound on her? Okay, let's ask it again. She can't hear you.
So, can you hear me now?
Yeah, better.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking to purchase a new home, and I haven't been able to find the right property. And I was wondering if you saw any insight as to either why or if it's coming down the road.
Well, let me state, number one, I can't do personal readings like this because I have to use the psychometry in order to tap into you, but in general, I will say to you that you haven't found the right home because it simply isn't time right now, and you've got too much on your plate.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last part.
You've got too many things happening right now. It's not time for you.
Okay.
You said too much on your plate, she said.
Right, and do you see that changing relatively soon?
Well, I can't do a psychic reading over the phone like this via a blog. I have nothing to touch into.
Oh, okay.
She said she has to have something of yours to hold.
To touch into, yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
I wish I could, but I just can't.
Okay. Sorry,
unfortunately, I am, quote, human.
Okay.
She
well,
did give you
anyway.
Some information anyway.
Well, there was some that was just kind of there.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. But, well, I know there's so much we could talk about, Carol, because in addition to all of these work you're doing with your center, with the police and the missing people, you've also traveled the world and worked on mysteries everywhere.
Oh, I love doing that. That's much fun.
That's not the same, is it?
Oh, that's it's awesome. It's just awesome.
Because then you get away from the murders anyway.
Well, not necessarily.
No. But, you know, when you're working on the Sphinx and the hidden tunnels under the Sphinx and the pyramids and things.
Uh-huh.
You love that.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I got involved with, Dr. Joseph Shore and
yeah.
the Shore expedition to Egypt. And they brought me in to see what I could pick up. And I located a tunnel that led from the pyramids to the base of the Sphinx.
Uh-huh.
And then we located an opening. And at one time it was completely filled with water, but all the water went away. And there were like 3 chambers that they did not know existed. and the very bottom chamber, which was 300 feet down, there was an ancient temple, and spread throughout that temple were human bones.
This was all underneath the Sphinx, you said.
Well, this was alongside, or actually on top of the tunnel that led from the pyramid to the Sphinx.
In there, that's where the hidden temple was.
Well, there was a temple there,
yeah.
And there was an opening from the temple, on the temple floor,
yeah,
that led directly into that tunnel.
And you said, I know I've heard your story before, you said you found bones down there.
Found what?
Bones, you said.
Yeah, there were human bones scattered all over the place. There had been a battle because they were sealing up that entry. It was during the overthrow of the priests of that time frame.
Uh-huh.
And they were murdered. And what covered the entry to the tunnel was a black granite sarcophagus lid. Now, they later did open that. They did lift that lid, okay?
Yeah.
And that was, they saw the tunnel then. But the tunnel was filled with water.
That's why no one else had found it before.
Right. They just thought it was an old well. But I had told Boris Saeed was the director, producer,
yeah,
about that place, and that the water was going to go away, and they thought it was a well, but it's going to have chambers in it, and that will lead to the tunnel.
But didn't you tell me, like, people like Hadi Sawas and those really don't want you exploring those things?
No, they don't want us exploring. Uh-uh. There are chambers underneath the Sphinx. There are 9 chambers altogether.
Uh-huh.
There's an antechamber, which is at the very tail of the Sphinx, and it only runs about 12 feet down.
Uh-huh.
And then there are 6 chambers on either side, and they are filled with things. Metal things.
With what?
All sorts of things. They did a sounding. And they found that these chambers contained wood, iron, all sorts of things. But they don't know what those things are.
Yeah. But they won't let anybody explore them, will they?
No. Well, it tends to mess up Egypt's history, according to Egypt.
Yeah.
And we can't do that.
Well, see, that's what I've gotten in my work, too. They've said there's things under there, but they don't want to find them. Because it does change the history.
It would change the history of the world.
Mm-hmm. You know what I found in my work? They talk about the underground cities, and they said that the entrances are underneath the pyramids. All over the world, everywhere there's a pyramid, there are entrances that go down into these underground cities.
Really?
And that this is one of the reasons they don't want people, you know, exploring down in there.
I have not run across that, Dolores.
Well, that's what I've heard, but they said they're way down. I mean, but the entrances are hidden in there, and that the, you know, like Hadi Sawas and those people don't want anyone finding these things. So, I don't know.
There are.
There's a lot more, I guess, than we know.
God only knows. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just scratching the surface here.
Oh, yeah.
We have no idea. There might be UFOs under there for all we know.
Very possible.
I look at the world and I say, anything's possible.
But you've done this for quite a while. But the last time I talked to you, you were going back to Peru, or you were going somewhere over there, weren't you?
Yeah, I went to Machu Picchu.
But you said that's changed a lot since I was there.
Drastically. We're talking drastic changes. The hotels are running $400 a night, up to $1,500 a night.
Wow.
I mean, it's turning into a gigantic sideshow. And I hate saying that, but it really is.
And there are too many people there now, too, isn't that right?
Oh, my God. You're talking 400 people at Machu Picchu alone.
Wow.
That's what they let in. That's it.
Because when I was there, there were enough of us, we could wander around freely. You know,
you can't do it.
That many.
You can't wander around anymore. You have to have a guide.
Oh.
And you have to be in specific places.
Because when I was there, we got locked in.
Did you really?
I told you that.
Yeah.
They locked the gate, and we were trying to get out and get down the what they call the snake, you know, go down that.
Oh, yeah.
Out
mm-hmm.
to the gate, and we were locked in, and it was dark.
Oh,
we
wow.
almost had to spend the night up there.
That'd
but,
be kind
yeah,
of cool.
In those days, there wasn't that many people up there.
No, there might be 30.
Yeah, that was about it. It wasn't that crowded.
Well, those days are gone.
Ah, see, you're going to have to find other places to explore.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. That's what I'm in process of. I'm going to Belize.
To Belize. What do you think you'll find there?
I don't know. Might find anything there. I might find a crystal skull. Who knows? Of course, getting out of the country might be a little difficult.
Well, you've also been talking about China.
Yeah, I've been to China.
You're talking about the Pyrrhus pyramids there too. I don't know if you've been to that place or not yet.
I have not gone there yet. There is a gigantic pyramid. It makes the Great Pyramid in Egypt look small.
Uh-huh.
It is just huge.
That was one thing you were thinking about you wanted to find, didn't you? Go there and look at that?
I haven't done that. I may well do it. I don't know.
But you have been to China, and I knew you've been to Japan.
Yeah, I've been to China. Well, I was looking for their Chinese wild man or yeti in China.
Yeah. You told me that story. You were looking for the Yeti, the Abominable Snowman, but what do we call it, the Sasquatch?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I think you said they found some fur, didn't they?
They did. They found hair. And he's red-haired.
Mm.
Carrot red.
So it shows there are, and I knew you found the Shogun's treasure. We could go on and on. I've known you so long that I know with you, if a mystery, you're going to go and find it.
If I get a shot at it, you bet.
You're not about to retire yet.
Oh, no. I got a long ways to go. I'm going to have to be 95 before I even consider the thought.
That's the way I feel, too. There's so much out there to do and to see.
Yeah, it's fascinating. The world is awesome.
Well, one thing I wanted, we were talking on the phone about, and Justine brought it up, too. Somebody called in and wanted to know what she saw for 2009. What do you see? What do you pick up about 2009?
Can you give me a call on that after January 16th?
Why that date?
Because January 16th, I am going to be doing the predictions for the new year.
Okay.
And I never know what those predictions are going to be until I do them. And a lot of times the information is channeled through.
Uh-huh.
So I don't really know what that information is going to be until then.
Mm.
Now, I can give you a little bit in that I think that this is going to be a huge year to uncover people that have been extremely greedy. It's all going to be about greed.
You think so? Greed? What do you mean?
That this our country and the other countries of the world have been raped by greed.
Yeah.
And that's going to all be exposed in this coming year.
They won't be able to hide it anymore.
No, they will not. There's going to be a lot of things really, really exposed. This is going to be dealing with illegal actions, dealing with our government on all levels.
Mm.
With corporations on all levels. Is it a doomsday? No, not at all. But those that got caught up in the greed, they are going to pay a very heavy price this year.
Mm.
And these are individuals from families all the way up to CEOs.
Wow. Well, you know, that's one thing I didn't even think about it that somebody pointed out. But 2009, that comes up to an 11, which is a master year.
Oh.
A master number. And I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be huge. And it's going to be worldwide.
Well, what do you think about the new president, Obama?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. To be honest with you, I didn't feel good about him. And I hate saying that. I support him 100% because he's our president. And I think we should support our president.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, you were talking about the greed and everything being exposed. I was just wondering what part he would play in all of this, you know.
Well, there may be some parts in there that he will play.
Yeah.
But it may be concerning the people that he has dealt with.
I was wondering if he might be, instrumental in part of the exposure.
I hope he is.
Uh-huh.
I can't say that he will be. If he turns out to be a really good president, which I pray he does, he will be an instrument in uncovering this.
Okay. But you really feel that a lot of things will turn around this year?
Yes. It's not a bad year. We're going to get the trickle-down effect of everything that happened last year.
Yeah.
Last year's predictions was the stock market was going to go insane the end of September through November.
Last year?
Yeah. That's what I gave for January, that we were going to have a real crisis.
Uh-huh. So all of that did happen then?
It did happen. Yeah, everything happened.
Do you get any kind of feelings about the economy for this next year?
Well, it's going to be a little bit rocky, but it's going to stabilize.
For a while?
Yeah, I think it'll stabilize. And I think the housing market, it's going to be really strange. The housing market is an absolute buyer's market. This is a fantastic year to go ahead and invest in real estate.
Yeah.
Because in 2 years, it's going to make a major rebound.
Well, it can't stay down. It has to come up. But the interest rates can't even go any lower.
Exactly. It's a buyer's market. But I wouldn't be playing the stock market right now.
I don't think I would either.
Uh-uh.
See, that's what Justine was saying. She felt especially by fall of 2009, everything will really be better.
Oh, I think it will too. I do not see this as a negative year. I see it as a positive year.
Mm-hmm. But these are all tests we all have to go through.
Sure.
As we live, and there are all things that happen, and how do they affect you? Which way do they go?
It's how you deal with them.
Yeah, how you deal with it.
And how you react to them.
Because they had on the news that one man was one of the richest people in the world over there in Germany.
Yeah.
Suicide.
I know, isn't that nuts?
It's all about money, and that's what I mean. If you lose it, so what? But it becomes all they can think about, and it's their whole life.
Like they can take it with them, right?
Yeah. Like you said, it's how do you react to these crises? How does it affect you? And I think we were talking. You said you wanted to tell people it's all about hope. It's how you adapt to these things, and it is all about hope, isn't it?
It is, and it's all about being positive. It goes back to manifesting. You can manifest yourself a hell or a heaven. It's your choice.
Yeah.
And this is all just stuff. And
well,
it can be taken.
I tell people, which kind of a world do you want to live in? You want to live in a negative one or a positive one? It's up to you.
Well, a lot of people are used to a negative one.
Yeah.
And consequently, they continue to manifest that way.
They don't know you can change things.
No, they don't. They really don't. And it's such a shame.
But the idea is we want to let people know there is hope. This is a temporary thing right now we're going through.
Sure it is. And it's going to rebound.
How you adapt to it and how you roll with the punches, I guess you would say.
Well, I had warned my clients for 3 years to not get heavily into credit. Don't be spending more than you can. Pull out of stock markets. Don't get into anything that you can really get hurt because all of this is going to come crashing down.
Yeah.
So I've been warning people for a long time about it. But if you are, there is going to be ways of working through it. Now, I do feel that Obama will put into place some ways of helping people to get out of really bad crunches, dealing with their credit cards, dealing with the mortgages. I think there's going to be help put out there for them.
That's good.
I do feel that.
We do want to leave people with the tell them that there is hope, and just got to hold on, and everything is going to work out. It's all the way you perceive it, then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, we're coming to time for me to stop, but Carol, I want you to tell people how they can contact you if they want help or if they just want to find out more about you.
Well, they can call at the center. The area code is 501-888-8056. Now, they won't be able to talk to me directly. They'll be talking to either Carol or Lee, who are really nice, nice ladies. And they keep my scheduling all straight.
Okay. That's another Carol.
Yeah, it's another Carol.
Okay, repeat that number again.
It's area code 501-888-8056.
And you can also reach you through your website, too, can't you?
Absolutely. CarolPatePsychicCenter.com.
And that's all one word, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all one word.
Carol Pate, P-A-T-E, PsychicCenter.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to watch for you on the Court, well, the Court TV is now True TV.
Yeah.
But I'll now also watch on A&E with the Psychic Investigators.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And thanks, Carol, for coming on.
You have a great new year.
The same to you.
And all that are interested, you need to know your new year can be as wonderful as you want it to be.
Yep. It's all up to you.
Hang in there.
Okay. Thanks again, Carol.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. And good night, everybody.
Good night.